We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 15th of June. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the centre of Sheffield. We're going out on FM radio and online, but however you're listening, the programme is also available as a podcast from the Sheffield Live website later on today. So, who was on last week? Who's on this week? Well, I'm delighted that Steve Rimmer, the co-founder and chief executive of Tickets for Good, is in the studio with us today. He'll be talking about Tickets for Good, migration matters, much, much more in just a few minutes before we turn to Steve. On the podcast note, did you miss last week's programme? Well, if you did, you missed a treat. Al Dore was on the show talking about Kickoff, the fantastic festival that's launched with a party, an event last night, and going on at Aberdell Picture House throughout the next couple of weeks. So loads going on. You can watch the football on massive big screens. You can dress up as a country. You can eat pies and much, much more wonderful street food, pop-up food. You can drink craft beer, cocktails, and you can generally have lots of fun. If you missed Al Dore, then catch up with the podcast of last week's programme. Go to the Sheffield Live website. But that was then, this is now. Steve Rimmer will be joining us in just a few minutes. Before he does, what's been going on in business and in social enterprise. What's been going on with you? Well, Instant Print, the online printing company, have announced that they will invest a further £3 million into their print technology this summer and are set to create up to 40 new job opportunities in the South Yorkshire region. They've already invested more than £20 million into their Rotherham print production facility over the last 5 years, and this new, most recent investment means that the print firm will expand further and take on 40 new employees before September. Now, this we've talked a lot on this programme about the gig economy, and Jay Bayani has come on the show quite frequently to give us updates on what's going on in employment law and how that affects you, your business, your social enterprise, or whether you're an employer, whether you're an employee or a gig economy worker or a freelancer. So this week, the Supreme Court justices ruled that a former Pimlico plumbers engineer was a worker rather than self-employed. Now, this is Gary Smith, who worked for the London-based company for 6 years and suffered a heart attack. He asked for his working hours to be cut from 5 days a week to three. Pimlico declined his request, took away his van. Now, an employment tribunal decided that, although he was not an employee, he was a worker. That was in 2012. Pimlico appealed both to the Court of Appeal and the Employment Appeal Tribunal. Both of those appeals were dismissed. But this week, Supreme Court justices said, yes, he was a worker. So this means that clarity over the gig economy and self-employment and workers, it's still missing in many ways, and quite a lot of experts have said we need more clarity on this. As you'll know if you listen to the show regularly, the Taylor Review, which was published last year, contained many proposals for the gig economy amongst its recommendations, and the government is currently running a series of consultations on issues raised. But in handing down the judgment last week, the Supreme Court Justice Wilson said that Pimlico had a large degree of control over Gary Smith's appearance, the cleanliness of his uniform, his ability to compete with the company and to carry out jobs for it. And so he said that he was in many ways subject to Pimlico's demands as a worker. So Pimlico founder, of course, the outspoken Charlie Mullins, has said that the decision is a missed opportunity to align employment status law with modern working practices. And he said that it wasn't about exploitation, but about a highly skilled self-employed plumber wanting to have his cake and eat it. Now, what do you think? What's your view on this? Is clarity lacking when it comes to the gig economy? Does it affect you, your business? Does it affect you as a worker or someone who's self-employed? Love to hear from you. Get in touch with the programme. Email jamie at sheffieldlive.org. Send a text 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Loads of events coming up in Sheffield over the summer, so plenty for you to enjoy. Of course, we've got Cliffhanger coming up, Tramlines coming up, both high-profile events in July. But the British Swimming Summer Championships are here too, as well as the Bradfield Festival of Music. Chance to Dance this weekend and kick off, as I mentioned earlier. Go to welcometosheffield.co.uk to look up loads of events in the city. And the Business and IP Centre Sheffield, they have a couple of free workshops coming up on how to research, how to do research in business. So they, if you are starting a business or looking to grow your existing business, you want to research your market, then Tuesday the 19th of June, next Tuesday, and Thursday the 28th of June, two events from the Business and IP Centre Sheffield. So I'll tweet the links out to those so you can find details of them after the show. What else? Well, there's an online survey closing in 2 days if you want to have your say on the city centre. So this is Sheffield, the city centre plan for 2018 to 2028. So an online survey closes on Sunday. The plan, the city council say, is about laying the foundations for Sheffield's success and ensuring that the city centre contributes to economic growth that improves the lives of all Sheffielders and improves our environment. So if you want to give your views in that, the details go to sheffield.citizenspace.com and you should find a survey from the consultation hub there. Again, I'll tweet the link out at the end of the programme today. So plenty going on. Do get in touch if you want to put yourself forward to be on the show or comment on anything going on, how it affects your business or social enterprise. Send an email to me, Jamie Veitch, jamie at sheffieldlive.org, or a text 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Time now to turn to our guest today. Steve Rimmer is in the studio. Steve is co-founder and chief exec, Tickets for Good. And Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thanks so much for coming in today. How are you?
Pleasure. I'm very well. Thank you. Cheers.
Good stuff. So it's been a while since you were on the show. We were talking about Aberdale Picture House last time, I believe, and that was really exciting. Still is really exciting. And I'd like to ask you about progress since you were last on the programme with Aberdale. But before we do, Tickets for Good. Many of us here in Sheffield will know the platform, will know what you do, will have used the platform, but others won't. So can you introduce Tickets for Good? What does it do? What's it all about?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So Tickets for Good is it's all about making events more charitable and inclusive. We think of ourselves like a charitable version of Eventbrite with elements of Just Giving built in. So what we do is we provide a platform for people who are organising events to list events, provide event registration for free events, or sell free advance tickets. But at every point through the platform, there's an element of charitable activity built in. So we build in charity donations into our booking fees, at the checkouts. And then we also work with the event organisers to think more about how they can add charitable donations into their tickets, onto their tickets, and also think about the tickets themselves. Outside of that, we've also been doing some quite interesting work about inclusivity, in particular about thinking, how can we bring people from disadvantaged or marginalised groups into events and give them similar access to events that a lot of us enjoy and have the opportunity to enjoy. But there are significant barriers for some people, whether it's financially or socially. So we're exploring a lot of those things in partnership with various groups. More recently, we've seen over the last 18 months since we launched the website on in February last year, We've seen a really great embrace from the Sheffield community, but also from further afield. So we've got events online in Sheffield, the Sheffield City region, also in London. And we've also had some events internationally already from events in Amsterdam, Berlin, and also Greece in Thessaloniki.
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased about that, that we've actually organically found people come in and get in touch with us that want to use the platform and help us push the ball forward in terms of what needs to happen for exporting internationally, such as internationalisation, the currency and Euro connection, which at the moment is even more pressing for us to make sure we forge those connections with the current environment.
Indeed. But
going back more locally, I think we've been really happy with the engagement from the local arts and culture scene events more generally. We've had some amazing support from people like Festival of Debate.
Yeah.
So they were one of our first kind of multi-event event organisers that actually came and put all of the events on the platform. That was last year. This year, again, we're working with them in partnership across various platforms, but we're a key supplier for them, and we've got lots of really good events on the platform right now for Festival of Debate. So I'd certainly suggest to people to have a look at Festival of Debate online, because they're doing some amazing events across the city.
Yes, indeed.
But more recently, we've got one of my kind of annual favourites, which is the Migration Matters Festival.
Yes.
And that in particular is something that I think is just an amazing event in terms of what they do with the programming. They put out so many good events, but also there's that underlying social mission and social responsibility element to put forward that agenda about migration mattering, which I think is very important, and increasingly so as events outside in the news get more regular. But I think it's just an ongoing thing that we should remember and think about, reminding that Sheffield is the first city of sanctuary.
Yep.
And has a great history of embracing people in migration and refugees and asylum seekers. And also we have also worked with them to go a bit further and think about how can you bring in people from the communities that maybe are less engaged one reason or another in the events. So they've been particularly active early on in saying, actually, we want to involve people who are affected by migration, who are refugees, asylum seekers, or are in that field and potentially might not be engaged in arts and culture events for one reason or another, whether it's they just aren't aware of them. So, or maybe think that it's financially unaffordable. But from what I've seen, most... I'd say it for quite a lot of the events in Sheffield. There's lots of free events, which is great. So it's accessible. It's just a case of getting the message out so people know. So one of the things we did was work with Migration Matters to link up with local charities.
Yes.
Who work directly with refugees and asylum seekers to let them know there are these available tickets and free tickets in most cases to the events, and how to help those communities engage more with the event so we can diversify the audience and help broaden the range of activity and people that attend the events.
Right, yes, indeed. So so that's crucial as well. So there's ever such a lot in there. That's absolutely fascinating. And I'll see if we can unpack some of that, because setting up the platform 18 months ago, Tickets for Good, so that's built on previous work that you and colleagues and team had done as well, of course. Now, when you work with event organisers, they can identify a cause that they want to support through a partnership with Tickets for Good when they're selling tickets on the platform, mm-hmm. or they're offering booking to free events on the platform as well. So an event organiser can work with you, find a cause. You're making those partnerships, you're forging those partnerships as well. And when someone books a ticket, they can simply book in a way that lots of people are familiar with in terms of booking tickets online, but you can add a donation on top as well. Mm-hmm. And that sort of adds an extra element to Tickets for Good as well, I suppose. So in terms of getting the tech working, you've been up and running for 18 months now. Were there any glitches or any challenges, perhaps, in terms of getting it to do what you wanted it to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think just in terms of the model, firstly, we decided to think about, well, how can we build charity donations into everything that we're doing? So we actually reserve a section of our revenues. So actually 10% of our revenues, as opposed to kind of profit or kind of anything like that, it's 10%
of
our revenues is automatically donated. So even if someone, just by buying a ticket, there's an automatic donation, as well as these other opportunities to optionally donate. And then we set up a process of a charity of the month. So we have a different charity every month. Last year it was local Rotherham charity Grimm & Co.
Yeah, indeed. And Grimm & Co. founder Deborah Bullivant has been on the programme a couple of times. So a fantastic children's literacy charity, indeed. So sorry to interrupt. That was last month's charity of the month.
That's right, yeah, yeah. And this month we're actually partnering with the Migration Matters Festival who've put forward the Charity of the Month in line with their the work that they're doing. And next month we're actually focusing on youth mental health and wellbeing with the South Yorkshire Community Foundation's Youth Mental Health and Wellbeing Fund.
Yep.
So there's usually a theme that runs across in the different charities of the month, but we look to engage with charities to see how can we find charities doing good and impactful work locally or nationally, and also look at how we can work with them to engage with the events as well. So it's not just about financial financial donations, it's also about working with the events to increase donations, but also access to the events for their clients.
Right, yeah, great stuff. Super. So that's in terms of perhaps how some of it how some of it works. And going back to, I suppose, the issue of challenges on the way in terms of getting it going, it looks fantastic. Clearly it works really well. Any listener who uses the platform will already know that it works seamlessly. Were there any difficulties when you got set up? Is there anything that you had to address?
Well, thank you for that, Jamie. That's very kind. We're really pleased with how the platform's working. We've actually had quite a broad level of support recently with kind of multi-sectors using the platform and getting feedback from different people in different sectors and age groups. For instance, we've had some great support from the Sheffield Chamber of Commerce, who've started using it for their internal meetings, their forum groups, which has been great, and just gets more people using the platform for free event registration.
Right.
But no, certainly with any tech platform, we've built it from the ground up.
Yes.
And certainly making sure that when we move from what we were doing previously into the more kind of generalised event ticketing market, we had to look at adding specific features to that, to the base platform, thinking about such things like add to calendar or kind of VAT for businesses.
Yes.
Things like being able to email attendees directly from the platform, which is now obviously quite key in relation to the changes with GDPR, for instance, and how kind of data is connected within the space. I think certainly there's always the challenges is just financially, really, just having enough capacity and resources. And we've been lucky enough to find an amazing local agency called the Black Eye Project. Mm-hmm. So they're a creative agency in Sheffield, and we've worked with them pretty much from the ground up since we had an in-house developer initially. And that's been great to be able to have someone local that we can actually go and sit down and talk to and go through everything. I think it's mainly around the challenges has really just been about financial capacity. So how do we raise the necessary finances to invest in the platform?
Yes.
So far it's all been about bootstrapping, just right. Taking on some small investment, friends and family rounds, things like that in relation to the SEIS program.
Yep.
And now we're trying to take the next step forward towards raising some more significant investment.
And where are you going for that? Are you looking at social investors or what's your approach?
The approach initially was unfortunately, we had to look outside of Sheffield in the most part. Yeah. Apart from the kind of personal networks through friends and family, I've been a member of the Impact Hub down in King's Cross.
Yeah.
So travelling down to London regularly, trying to get into the investor network. And then we also signed up and successfully won a place on the Telefonica Open Future North programme over in Oldham. So those kind of routes is where we've been going looking for investment to get the necessary training and kind of, I guess you could say, high growth enterprise support that we felt we needed, and finding those investor networks. More recently, actually, we've been lucky enough to take a place on the Collider projects. Hmm. I believe it's the Centre of Excellence programme, where that's actually locally based. They've set up an incubator in the city centre.
Indeed.
So we've just taken a membership with them, and we'll be kind of engaging with their network, which is in Sheffield and more locally. So really happy about that we can start to engage with local places to look at raising investment. And that's something that we're doing actively right now.
Yep.
And we're also, I know we're going to talk about it later, but the B Corp network was somewhere else that we looked to just to engage the right elements of people who are familiar with social responsibility, but this the kind of the case that doing good can be good for business.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. And I want to ask you about B Corp, so I think now's the time to do that. For anyone who looks at their website, we'll see that you're a certified B Corporation, and the B Corp logo is prominent. And for anyone who hasn't come across B Corp as yet, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be a B Corporation, and why did you choose to be certified, and how onerous is the process, and is it simply a rubber stamp, or is it much more meaningful? And I think I know the answer to some of those, but I'd love to hear it in your words.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a couple of years ago I was looking around for my kind of background is more in social enterprise and charities, and obviously there's been a lot of change in relation to social enterprise and sort of what is a social enterprise and how is that confirmed. And we felt that we were a social enterprise in Tickets for Good, but then we were in a for-profit with purpose model. So what that means is that we are a for-profit company, but we have a social responsibility within our company's aims and objectives. So we have this percentage of revenues that we donate, but also it's going a bit further in relation to building social responsibility into what we're doing around making events more charitable and inclusive. So we looked about what networks are there, or what sort of engagement processes are there that kind of bring those things into context. And then we found the B Corp movement,
yeah,
which started up in America and is now very active in the UK with the UK kind of section. And they started around a couple of years ago, and there's a couple of hundred B Corps now. And I'd say it's this amazing mix of companies that realise that doing good is good for business, and it's all about being a company that acts as a company, but in a socially responsible and purposeful way. And there's actually quite an in-depth process to becoming a B Corp.
Yeah.
You have to engage with the B Corp community, but also effectively take quite a detailed test, which is called the B Lab assessment, and it's around probably a minimum of 3 hours just to go through the test, and it goes into everything through governance, things transparency, HR policy. One of the things that always sticks out is this having things like making sure to get high enough score, you have to have things such as similar maternity and paternity leave, for instance.
Yep.
Just, but also looking at your supply chain, who are you, what are your suppliers like. So it's quite in depth. I guess it's similar to, you probably think of it similar to ISO type things, but it's kind of a mark of responsibility, and you certify through the program. As a startup, we were lucky enough to participate in their pending B Corp program, which gave us some extra time to actually go through that process. But no, I'd definitely recommend people check out the B Corp movement. There's a lot of activity in London and the South, and I think certainly the more that kind of organisations in the North and England engage, the more that will happen in respect of engagement with the community.
Superb. Well, thanks for that. So do check out the B Corp movement, and you can find out more on the website about that, and take a look at what it takes to become a B Corp. And as you say, Steve, it's a rigorous process as well. So great. So that gives you a public demonstration that you do what you say you do, and that you have written in to, for example, your objectives to articles of association, presumably, or company documentation. The profit with purpose model is not simply words. You do this, as we know. You talked earlier about working with or being supported by Telefonica Open Future North, WIRA UK. So that program, well, tell us about the impact of that on Tickets for Good, how it's supported you, how it's helped, any potential benefits.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Again, when we were kind of starting out, we were looking around for enterprise support programs, preferably in the north of England.
Yes.
And came across the WIRA program. Yep. I actually have to say thanks to Ben Keegan from Roundabout. It was him that mentioned WIRA. There'd been some engagement there in London, and so I used to check that out in London. And then it was just lucky enough that I saw they were doing a Northern program in partnership with Oldham. So engaged, and we actually applied, and we had to go and pitch a pitch event, and we were lucky enough to win a place on that program. So that program was a about support in terms of kind of, they call it a pre-accelerator for the WIRA program, which is the London-based Telefonica Startups accelerator. And so that gave us the opportunity to link in with entrepreneurial and enterprise level support to look at how do you become a startup that has the potential to be high growth, how do you kind of mould your offer in relation to the pitch deck, in relation to looking at investment, but then also thinking about how do you engage with a corporation such as Telefonica and O2 in the UK. And that was really interesting because already over the time period of joining last February, we've now had a lot of engagement with O2 directly, and they've been supportive of what we're doing with Tickets for Good, in particular around the inclusivity elements of our work.
Yes.
But just getting a feel for how do you work with bigger organisations, because if you're in the startup scene, you're kind of working with startups, you're at that startup level. So to be able to engage with bigger companies and look at what process do they go to, what are they looking for, and how can you engage with them was really interesting. But certainly getting into the wider ecosystem around looking at investment and how do you look at what do investors look for, investor networks. We were connected with specific investors in our field of impact. So impact investors such as Mustard Seed, who were one of the investors in residence down at the WIRA program.
Yeah.
And more recently, we've actually moved on to the pre-accelerator for the Fair by Design program, which is all around looking at tackling elements around the poverty premium, again, in through the Oldham space. So and that's more focused around the social impact. So we're looking around the inclusivity element about what we're doing. How does that fit in relation to that? So I'd say certainly the huge benefits to us has been about honing our model in relation to, as a startup with the potential to grow and grow quickly, access to potential finance and investor networks, but in particular links into a larger corporate environment and what that means and what connections can come from that. So I think for us it's been invaluable and played a huge part in getting to where we are today.
Excellent, superb. And on the note of working with investors and working with corporates, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about impact investing and the global impact investment network. Say there's something like 18-20% more capital being deployed year on year for impact investment. So investors putting things into initiatives that they do expect to generate a social return and a financial return. And for some of those investors, according to the Global Impact Investment Network, this is because they want to do good. They want to do the right thing. For other investors, it's simply that investing in things that do good actually get them a better financial return. So they're not altruistic at all. Others are entirely altruistic. So I think interesting that people are approaching impact investment for different different reasons, and those are equity investments in general through the measured by the Global Impact Investment Network. But I wonder what then. You say all of this engagement has been very, very helpful in terms of moving you along and understanding what it takes to work with corporates and how what they're looking for and what investors are looking for and so on. Any tips then in terms of being a business for purpose or a social enterprise, an impact-driven organisation, not wanting to perhaps water down or dilute your impacts, but to work with investors? Any advice, any salient points that you'd like to offer?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think early on, by having the direct engagement with impact investors, we were lucky enough to be pointed out that actually what we were doing initially with raising charitable donations is actually indirect social impact. Mm. So it's and what that means is it doesn't have a direct impact on an individual. So what we needed to look at was how can we be more direct? How can we be more directly impactful to people directly? So because that's in most cases that's what we've seen, that this you need to get impact investment, you need to be doing impact,
yeah,
rather than facilitating that by supporting others to do the impact, unless you have a very, very strong monitoring evaluation framework to look at where your money goes and how that benefits. So we've actually been looking at how, from our perspective, how can we work directly with individuals who need more support, and that's kind of it crafted this area that we're working on around inclusivity.
Yes, I see.
And it's something that we've been working on for a number of months, and we've actually pushed that ball forward quite a lot, and we've got a really interesting program in the works that we're engaging with individuals who have barriers to accessing events in partnership with charities and non-profits. So that's something that's still in the works, and I'll probably come back to you and talk more about that. But certainly in relation to advice, I'd say that it's talking to someone else, what is your impact? What direct impact, so direct social impact are you having on the people that you're supporting? And how's that measured? And what social impact measurement processes have you got in place? But in particular now, within the field of social impact reporting and monitoring and evaluation, it seems to be moving towards impact management. So what ongoing social impact management frameworks are you using? And how can you say day-to-day, what we do is our impact is this, we help this person in this way, and then certainly for an investment case, how does that go back into an enterprise model? So how does that generate revenue and then surplus in a company format? So yeah, I mean I'd say it's more complicated than traditional investing, because rather than put money in you make money and give money back, it's adding the social impact framework into that,
yep.
And which I think is really good, and I think that, but it's something that does add an extra element to think about. So just having the clarity on what exactly is your social impact that you're having, and directly on and on who and in what groups.
Right. Okay. Great. Well, that's helpful to know. Thank you. Now, I mentioned last time you were on the program, it was when you'd taken on the Aberdeen Picture House in terms of signing a long lease to look after the picture house, if you like, and be able to then bring in other funding as well. So, and of course, observers will and attendees at Picture House events will have noticed you seem to be going from strength to strength in terms of hosting events, and I wonder if you can give me a quick update on how it's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I guess it's important to separate my kind of day job, I guess, yep, the Tickets for Good as a startup, from my work over the last few years as the founder and trustee of Charity CADS.
Indeed, yes.
So that was, I guess, my previous life, where I kind of set up and built up the charity, the Creative Arts Development Space, or known as CADS, over the last 8 years. In partnership with a great team, so
yeah.
Particularly long-running staff members like Kieran and Paul and many other people on the way, and Dan. And a few years ago, back in 2015, we actually published a public business plan, which talked about the vision for CADS over 3 years, 2015 to 18. And part of that was looking at moving from short-term temporary buildings that were maybe on a 1 or 2 year contracts and actually diversifying over a number of years. So looking at short, medium and long-term buildings. And it was lucky enough that through a chance meeting with one of our business advisors through Business Sheffield, Morgan Killick.
Yeah.
I was on the kind of the lookout for new buildings because we were at risk of losing one of our main sites due to development and regeneration in the Callum Island, Shalesmore area. And we actually said to him, we're looking for these new buildings. Do you know anything that's kind of around? He's like, well, what would you think about Abbeydale Pitch House? It was like, oh, wow, yeah, definitely consider that because it's such an iconic building within Sheffield. And, I mean, I live locally to the building as well, yeah. So I'm kind of a local resident there. So over the past 18 months, we've, since taking on the building on a 25-year lease on the 1st of January last year, we've begin a program of year one was all about DIY. Let's get the building back into use, get it cleaned, get it painted, linked up with organizations such as the Good Gym Running Club. Mm. And they've actually been amazing in terms of they've been once a month they've come and done an hour's volunteering with sometimes up to 30 people to really help push the building forward and clear out some of the rooms that maybe haven't been used for many years and make more available spaces. So now there's the auditorium, which is 300-seater auditorium with the big screen. There's the fly tower behind the screen, which is this amazing triple height, three-story height room. There's studios now for rent in the old dressing rooms. And there's also office rooms on the front, which is actually where we're based there. Our startup with Tickets for Good and other organisations are now based in the kind of flexible working space there. In terms of programme events, this year is as the second year has seen a kind of move towards a variety of events. So things like working with Festival of Debate, working with cinema like the Yorkshire Silent Film Festival, taking on support from the universities as well, and also looking at diversifying all of the events. So things like Kickoff, which is amazing, bringing that kind of different style of World Cup experience viewing, and I was there last night. It's absolutely amazing what they've done. They've kind of got this great experience as you go in, huge big screen, amazing drinks and food, things like that. But then tonight, completely different. There's a gig, a live music gig, and then on Saturday there's a wedding. So there's lots and lots of different things happening. And this year it's all part of the renovation plan. So the renovation plan is about getting the building up to a licensable, fully licensed standard where it can have a full license. So rather than being on temporary licensing with restricted number of events, we want to get to the point of being a fully licensed venue. So that can increase the amount of programming that we can do there, which is currently a little bit restricted. But that means raising more finance. So CADS has put a number of quite a lot of money into the first year of just DIY takes a lot of money and staff time. And of course, there's bills to pay for the building, rent, high level of insurance. So, but just to get to where we want to go with the premises license, we're looking at about 50k. Mm-hmm. So £50,000. And recently, some really good news. We've had the first tranche of funding agreed from the Pilgrims Trust towards the fire alarm.
Right.
So we've got half of the fire alarm funded, which is a 30k fund that we're working on. So we've got 15k so far. So the kind of the green shoots are there. So the schedule is year one was about DIY, year two is about renovation, and year three is we're looking towards refurbishment because it's the 2020 is the centenary year for the Abbeydale Pitch House. So it'll be 100 years of Abbeydale Pitch House. So lots of stuff going on. There's lots more usable space. We're gradually kind of doing up the building with the capacity that CADS has got as a charity, and with a lot of volunteer support. We've been really sort of heartened by the amount of volunteers that have come forward to help. There's always room for more, and taking more support on board. But yeah, the events program has been really interesting and diverse, and it's already booked up until the end of the year with the limited capacity that we've got.
That's absolutely fantastic. So great really, really going well, and looking forward to year three, and looking forward to celebrating centenary year then. Marvellous. So let's just return to Tickets for Good to wrap up. It's been fascinating talking with you today, Steve, and you've mentioned, of course, Migration Matters Festival next week, 19th to the 23rd, and the opening party as well. So you can see full details of those on Tickets for Good, of course, the festival itself, and the opening party, which is at Theatre Deli. So clearly, Tickets for Good hosting lots of interesting, fascinating events, and working with really interesting partners as well. I mean, you mentioned working with the Chamber of Commerce, so that they're using the platform to help them to manage their own internal events as well, and so on. You must be really excited with how it's going, but if you could wave a magic wand now and accelerate development by a year, where would you like to be in a year's time, let's say?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I think certainly right now our focus is on building the team. We've increased our kind of staffing numbers considerably recently. So on the back of that, we need to also consider increasing revenues and bringing in some investment. Yeah. So that's really, for this year, it's about focusing on bringing on some investment to really expand, really focus our expansion in Sheffield and the Sheffield City region, because we've already seen pockets of events who like our kind of ethos nationally and also internationally. But I think certainly getting a strong base really across Sheffield and Sheffield City region areas is something that's important to me as someone who's from Sheffield and lives locally.
Yeah.
But also I'd say we're looking at really interesting work around how can we diversify what we're doing, and it's not, because the event ticketing is very I wouldn't say saturated, but it's very competitive, and there's so many event ticketing platforms out there, and we've got a differentiation, but how clear is it? So what we want to do is make sure that we're pushing that ball much further forward with innovative new products and things that we're doing that are much more different and than other organisations in a similar field. And I think what we've got is a really interesting second part of the platform that's launching soon, so really kind of seeing that move forward in the kind of secondary space. But also we're going to be doing work around what is the capacity that's still available in the city. So we've just been successful to get 100 hours placement funded from the University of Sheffield, and we're going to be doing a research program in partnership with Sheffield Chamber of Commerce Visitor Economy Forum about what is the occupancy levels like in the city, and what can we do to help make sure that events are fuller and venues are fuller.
Right.
I think that takes an approach about a more collaborative approach, and looking at how can we collaborate with some of the other players. So what I'd like to see is within 12 months is that we've actually worked directly with some of the other organisations in this similar space, such as SIVRE, for instance, SIVRE Tickets, because they've done an amazing job in the city. And I think there's got to be room for collaboration over competition, all being well. So it's kind of a hard question to answer, because we've got a lot of interesting things going on, but I think it's about increasing the use of surplus tickets is one big thing that we're looking at, and being at the forefront of that, and really kind of expand, getting a solid foundation for the platform to be used locally, nationally, and internationally.
Right. Brilliant. Well, that's been absolutely fascinating, Steve, and I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. People can find Tickets for Good online, of course. So do you want to give out the website address?
Yeah, absolutely. It's tickets for good.co.uk.
Superb. You're on Twitter as well, and so we've tweeted a link already this morning to your Twitter account, but again, you can give the Twitter address if you'd like to.
Yeah, just search Tickets for Good, and it'll come up at Tickets for Good. And just to drop in for, you mentioned about CADS as well.
Yeah.
Search for CADS, CADS online, or the Aberdale Picture House, and you'll see some information for that as well.
Brilliant. That's absolutely marvellous. And of course, with so much going on, I think we need to let you go, but thank you so much for sparing the time today, Steve, and coming in and talking with us about Tickets for Good. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Pleasure, Jamie. Thank you.
And you're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. Steve Rimmer has been on the show this morning, and he's chosen our next track of music for us to play. So, Steve, before we let you out, would you like to tell us the track you've chosen? We've got it all lined up and ready to go. It's ready for us to hit the play button, but please introduce it.
Well, yeah, this is one of my favourite all-time artists, The Guru from Gangstar, and he did a jazz album, or a number of jazz albums, called The Guru's Jazzmatazz, and this track is one of my favourites from the first album. And when you asked me earlier, do you have a tune you'd like to play, this one came to mind, so here you go.
Brilliant. Le Bien, Le Mal, Guru.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. That was a track chosen by our guest today. Steve Rimmer was in the studio, and he's been talking about Tickets for Good, about social and impact investing, about the impact that Tickets for Good have, and about Aberdale Picture House too. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed the interview with Steve, which was fascinating, wide-ranging, and yet another super guest on the show, don't panic, because the podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. Just go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to find today's programme from the 15th of June. Whilst you're there, you could listen to last week's show too. That was also interesting. Lucy Finlay of the Social Enterprise Mark was on the programme, along with Al Dore from Kickoff, the Football World Cup Festival taking place at the Aberdale Picture House right now, with loads and loads going on. So, what's been going on with you, with your business, with your social enterprise? Have you been doing something fascinating, innovative? Do you think you should be on the programme? Good. Get in touch. Send me an email, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text, 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. You can put yourself forward to be on the programme, or you can comment on anything going on and how it affects you, your business, or your social enterprise. Whether you're an employer, whether you're an employee, a freelancer, gig economy worker, social enterprise, we're always keen to hear from you. So don't be shy, do get in touch. And lots of folk end up on the show by doing just that. So what else has been going on? I mentioned earlier on today that an online survey that the Sheffield City Council are doing closes in just a couple of days. They would like to hear your views about the city centre. They want you to take part and to comment on the city centre plan for 2018 to 2028. They say the plan is about laying the foundations for Sheffield's success, and that we have to ensure that our future city centre contributes to economic growth that improves the lives of all Sheffielders and improves our environment, and that we're prepared for climate changes, connected by transport that is frequent, clean, and reduces carbon, congestion, poor health, and inequality, and that we have housing and workspaces that are easily affordable and highly sustainable, and have social and cultural facilities which are accessible and well-resourced, providing greater opportunity to all. So that's a wonderful list of aspirations, and I doubt anyone would argue with those aspirations, but how are we going to do it? Well, the Sheffield City Plan is only going to get this right if it is shaped by you, according to the council. It's your city centre, and they want your ideas, passion, and perspectives. So do take part in the consultation. Do answer the survey. Whatever you have to say about the council, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, negative, positive, whatever. Have your say now, because otherwise it isn't a consultation if people don't give their views. Sheffield.citizenspace.com is the website address, and you'll be able to find the This Is Sheffield, Our City Centre Plan consultation up on there. So give it a go, have your say. It only takes a few minutes, but do get involved. What else is going on? Well, the More Than a Pub National Conference is coming to Sheffield at the end of June, and the event is actually sold out. But if you want to, if you're interested in going along to the More Than a Pub National Conference, then you can put yourself on a reserve list so that if any tickets become available, you'll get them. This is about folk working together to save their local pub. Now, long-time listeners will know we featured the Angler's Rest at Bamford on this programme a couple of times in the past. That pub was at risk of closure until the community got together and undertook a community share issue to buy the pub. Now it's thriving. It's spending hundreds of thousands of pounds buying food and beer from local suppliers. It's creating jobs. It's superb for the economy, and it's a great pub. If you haven't been, go along. It's really easy to get to Bamford. Just jump on the train. Now, the More Than a Pub National Conference is about this kind of thing in terms of saving a pub, community-owned pubs working together. It's in Sheffield. It's on the 26th of June. Details are on the Plunkett Foundation website, plunkett.co.uk. And the event is full, but they are running a reserve list if you're interested and you want to see if you can go along. So plenty there. I mentioned also the Business and IP Centre Sheffield. We have a couple of free events coming up. Those are aimed at anyone who's starting or growing a business or social enterprise and wants to look into how research for your business plan can support your growth. Both free, one next Tuesday, one on Thursday the 28th of June. Look up Business and IP Centre Sheffield for more details. That's about it for today. We're back on air next Friday, so tune in then. But don't go away now, and don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 all the way through to noon. So tune in and listen to Sam and James and guests. It's going to be a good one, as ever. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our guest today, Steve Rimmer. Thanks also Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer. And we're going to play out with 2000 Miles from The Pretenders.
We're open for business live.